Right, join the Cammy, join Talk the Walk every week. It's one of the most popular features on the show, which is why we're going to have to shelve it, because I can't have you being more popular than me.
But it's nice to walk, like, even me, you know, I mean, I'm not saying even me, but I mean, it's nice to walk around a city and appreciate the city. You walk, you were born, you live in, you've moved to, you've visited, because, you know, you've got a worldwide listenership here. We have, I mean, and we get the podcast then out on you know, londonfreeevents.co.uk. So, you know, it's, I love this city. I love it and I hate it at the same time. And I think you have to. You have to, you fall in love with London. It's like the woman in your life or the partner in your life. It can drive you mad, but it can make you happy at the same time. And that's both ways, by the way. I do that to my, I do drive my partner mad as well.
However, you know. It's our job.
Yeah, no, no, but it is. It's a fantastic city, and it holds many, many secrets. And there's some good news, if I can announce first, some brilliant news.
All right, hey, hold up, wait, if, before you do your good news, I think that we should have the good news jingle. Right, here we go. So your good news jingle is... And now the good news
for London is the Chelsea Tea Store will be opening on Sundays from 10 p.m. till, well, 5, 6, 7 in the morning. And this is fantastic news after popular demand. You know, we've been badgering Ray, Pete down there, and Dave the Chelsea fan, who had a good night last night. Yeah, honestly, it's brilliant news it is. I'll give Tom on Clapham Common plenty of competition now as well. That's even better news.
OK, hard luck, Tom, but for the Chelsea tea hat... Congratulations! Right, okay then, John.
Nearly sang a song there, didn't we?
Yeah.
That would be Oh My Happy, wouldn't it? No, but anyway, this morning we're in, so we're going to be Seven Dials.
All right.
Seven Dials, Covent Garden, WC2. It's a roundabout, it's a column, it's a pillar, that cab drivers probably, I mean, in any one week, you'll probably go past this, through it, two or three times any one week at least, because it's a popular, beautiful little part of London. And, you know, I'm going around it myself, and, you know, you read inscriptions on things, and you start to wonder why. Why is Queen Beatrix in 1989, what was she doing unveiling this pillar again? You know, and so I thought, well, why not? Why not have a look at Seven Dials? But also, with something big happening over in West London, let's not forget about old London. Let's not forget about the wonderful shops, bars, and the fresh air we've got out here in WC2. When it rains, you can feel it pour upon yourself, and it means you can put your umbrella up rather than be indoors, because there's nothing wrong with big shopping malls or shopping centres. But let's not forget, and I tend to think, this is a beautiful shopping district in London that a lot of people don't know about, and they don't even know it exists, a lot of people. It ain't till you drive through it and go around it. So we're going to take a short little walk around part of Seven Dials.
Okay, now I know exactly where that is. There's a theatre on the corner, and it goes up in the Covent Garden, Neal Street, and it is a beautiful area. As a pedestrian, you never know where you're supposed to be, because people walk across it all the time, because it's kind of cobbled and stuff, and it doesn't look like a real roundabout. It's just quite small, isn't it?
It's a very small type roundabout, just about fit one vehicle you can, and then a lot of people do sit at the base of the actual column. And it's only six dials, by the way, on the sundial. It's a sundial at the top. The seventh is the column itself.
Right.
Okay, so, I mean, so this is a obviously, it's, we'll go on to it, what actually, you know, the work that was done, the rework and the remaking of this, but it is a very, very interesting, I'm actually shocked what was here. So let's start off. We're actually at Seven Dials. And let's get back to the Middle Ages. What used to be here was a hospital of St. Giles, a leper hospital. And then this land was leased in 1690 by William III to a chap called Thomas Neal. Now, you'll see that name everywhere. Neal's Yard, Thomas Neal. He's everywhere. Because it was his idea to have this star shape. And it was to maximise profits on the land. I mean, it was, I mean, he got the freehold of the land. I mean, it was known as a marshland. It was, or they called it Cock and Pie Fields, which was the name of a public house on the area. And, this was a, what can we say about Thomas Neal? An MP, an entrepreneur, a very, very, very interesting chap. I mean, most influential, a middleman. Dealt with the court, dealt with royalty, dealt with politicians, and a businessman as well. So, I mean, this is a fixer, a wheeler dealer of his day. Born in 1641, died in 1699. Also a gambler.
Right.
It's just funny, you know, sometimes you do find that with some of these people. They like taking a risk, and it's not just with a project, but with their own dough as well. Really interesting chap, and it was his idea to create these seven streets. Now, what was interesting about these streets is the names. The names, they're not, the names that are there now are not the names that they originally were. For example, they originally Little and Grey Earl Street is now Earlham Street.
Mm-hmm.
Little and Grey White Lion Street, now Mercer. That doesn't really rhyme, is it? Queen Street, now Shorts Garden. Little and Great St Andrew Street, now Monmouth. So, like any part of London, over time things do change. But this chap is, I think, for his day, certainly an amazing man. Further along, a bit down the line after a few years, I mean, what he found was that he didn't have the complete freehold for the land. He had to pay up when the lease expired, another £4,000. So if you think in those days, a hell of a lot of money, plus ground rent. So that was, again, another reason why he wanted to maximise the profits of this land, exactly where this stood. Okay, so, and if you look at the design, the way it is, you're from that small roundabout,
mm-hmm.
with the column and the sundial, and then each one shoots out, doesn't it? You've got Earlham runs across, yep. Mercer runs across, we've got, not Shorts Gardens, it is an amazing, beautiful little place, and I shocked myself this week walking around it, because I used to shop here, years ago, some brilliant shops, and there still are brilliant shops down here. And that's the brilliant bit about this. You know,
all round that Neil Street, I mean, there's a kite shop down there. Yeah,
yeah,
lovely.
One-offs they are. I mean, astrology shop, I'm sure you're a big fan.
Yeah.
No.
I always go in there to find out what I should be doing for that.
No, great curry house. It's like, you know, Birkenstocks, Berghaus. Yeah. I mean, you've got some big names, but then you've got the little...
Birkenstocks.
Yeah, and then you've got a little vegetarian, then little restaurants yep. on Neil Street. There's lots going on here. And, you know, I quite like that feel of being out in the fresh air. I like that feel when I'm going shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Reason wise, it's also nice ducking into a boozer. And there's plenty of pubs in this area. But we'll talk a little more about, you know, the shops that are in that area shortly when we start walking. All right? Because at the moment, we're still just talking about the actual history of the area. He designed this area for gentlemen and the landed gentry. He wanted it to be something great. But what happened over time... And after he passed away, this area fell into disrepute. And by the middle, they say, of the 18th century, they needed night watchmen, which were effectively, like we were talking about, policemen.
Right.
To keep order in the area. And this area did fall into disrepute, it did, basically. Lots of people drinking, and that column became, and it's just quite a worry, the actual column became a sort of like a focal point. A focal point for all the drunks and trouble. So in... the rumours were that a mob pulled it down in 1773. It's not. Actually, it was the paving commissioners in 1773. They wanted to rid the area of undesirables who congregated around. And that's what's so weird. When you drive around this, in the daytime, it's a meeting point. Lovers, business people, people sit there, meet, on their mobiles, they're texting, they're emailing. You know, you see it now, but you can imagine in those dark Dickensian days, like, you know, people were like hammered on from the gin palaces that existed in these areas. And with the cobbled streets that are still there, you still hear that noise with traffic going over
yeah.
it. But you can imagine it, what it would have been like then, without the street lighting, with the smog and the smoke and the smell, I'm sure, of... We all know
yeah.
what we all pass, don't we, when we have to go to the toilet.
Yeah.
So you can imagine that what this area probably was like. So they just took it down, the column. Took it away. And it's a way of like...
They just nicked it?
No, just took it down, the paving commissioners.
All right.
Stop where people want to congregate. And it didn't reappear until much, much later. I mean, it turns out the remains of the demolished column were later purchased by the architect James Payne and were taken to his home at Say's Court in Addlestone. But they were not re-erected there. In 1820, the Duchess Frederica Ulrika, widow of the Duke of York, died at Oatlands in Weybridge, Surrey. The remains of the pillar, which is still lying on the ground, were purchased via public subscription and re-erected on the green at Weybridge at a memorial to the Duchess of York. The dials were replaced with a coronet. So they've never got the original column back. It's still, as I understand, still there, actually, this day.
Just got a bat in here. Mr. Kabatsi has just said he's just driven past Seven Dials and someone's asleep at the bottom of the...
Well, there you go. I mean, probably drunk too much. I mean, yeah. It just says it all, isn't it, really?
And Mr. Kabatsi is a cabbie.
Oh, well done. Yeah, thank you. Good health to him. I mean, that's lovely, isn't it? I mean, it's funny. Look, how many times? And things haven't changed, have they?
Nah.
You know,
it's still a place where drunks and junkies, you know, hang yeah. out down there, and probably have done for centuries.
Now, what's interesting, what's happened since? I mean, I mentioned about Queen Beatrice of the Netherlands in 1989. A project's taken place after Covent Garden Market shut in the 70s. I mean, this area became a conservation area in 1974, and basically. The idea was to put the pillar back, and it was in 1989 it was reopened. It turned out trainee masons at Vauxhall College and Ashby and Horner Stone Masonry, one of the largest youth training projects for many years in England, they basically redone the column and put it back up. And they hid it turns out, with two large Kanter Carlsberg You know, so, I mean, they just covered it, they did, like, you know, so it was a big, big occasion.
That's probably the best thing they could have done. Probably the best thing in the world to have done.
Probably, yeah. No, but I mean, what's interesting about this now is in the sense that, Thomas Neal, if you go back to the original Seven Dials now, he was linked, obviously, to the Royal Courts. So there's a link, like, to the Royal Courts here, like, with the Dutch Royal Family, and obviously we're talking about Danish, then we're talking about Carlsberg Lager, but, so that happened in 1989, that came back, and what's interesting now, when they put the pillar back, was due at the foundations, they had to be very, very careful of the sewers underneath here now, because London's changed.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Of course, and the telecoms, and I mean, you know, it's just, this is all online, it is at a Seven Dials charity website, fantastic information about the monument itself, it is, but who was the architect now? Edward Pierce. And this is so eerie, isn't it? 1630 to 1695, a sculptor, an architect, a stonemason. Guess what he worked on? St. Paul's Cathedral. Just what we were talking about only the other week. You know, I mean, this is a man that's worked on many, many Wren churches. He also carved busts of Cromwell and Wren, and they're in Ashmole Museum in Oxford. Died in Surrey Street, not too far from Covent Garden, just off Temple Place, and buried in St. Clement Danes, which is known as the RAF Church, just on the Strand. So, you know, obviously died nearby, worked nearby, certainly worked in the city, worked on this project, on the original pillar. I mean, it's amazing how things link together, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wren, masons, you know, a carver, everything about it.
Can you imagine being around in those days? I mean, A, it must have been amazing to see these buildings and structures and areas when they were first built, but how much work was going on? And remember, this would have all been done, everything was done by graft.
Hand.
Yeah.
We're talking wooden mallets and different sizes of chisels.
Yeah. And no big cranes to lift stuff up. If you wanted to get a big lump of rock up there, you had to have men that were hauling it up. With
like
winches,
tackle,
and stuff,
yeah. Winches and stuff, and it going back to the, you know, literally like average. I mean, you know, just
amazing,
you know, basic skills.
Yeah,
I mean, when you think today, put a moment, I got a cherry picker and cranes and stuff, and we're complaining how easy things have gotten, maybe in a sense. But it's interesting to think when they actually remade this pillar, they did use the old fashioned way of hewing the stones and that anyway.
Right.
So that's important to remember as well. And you know, there's a real skill there in that stonemasonry. It's beautiful to see when it's done because it's too easy to make a cast, isn't it? Sometimes,
yeah,
it's just. Find a cast and pour a load of what's it, you know what I mean? It's just like making a jelly, isn't it, in the end? Might as well put a bowl of jelly if you're going to do that sometimes. I do wonder, you know. But interesting stuff here. There's a bit of a charity involved with this area. I mean, it's to me, just that little roundabout is a beautiful, wonderful little place. Now, imagine you're there right now and you can see the Cambridge Theatre, can't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have a look at the Cambridge Theatre, which has got Chicago on. I think it's Denise Van Outen again, isn't it? Or Outen, or whatever her name, how you pronounce her name. But it's a show that's been going on for quite a while. It was at the Adelphi in the Strand. It's moved to the Cambridge, slightly smaller theatre. But it's a lovely theatre. Again, the surprise of someone visiting London as you drive up Mercer Street and drop them on the right, effectively right by the dial itself. Because they don't actually see the theatre then, you know, sometimes you're so close to it. They get out the wrong side. Well, it's here. It's just here, the door to me right.
Yeah.
But it's there. We're going to take that little left into Earlham Street and head in a easterly direction down Earlham Street. And now you'll know the direction I'm heading to, because in the distance you'll see a public house called the Crown and Anchor.
Now, is this the street that's got the Donmar Theatre on?
Donmar Warehouse.
Right, okay.
Correct? Yeah. And this is what you'll notice is these are just big warehouses in the area. Beautiful looking warehouses, lovely, beautiful looking wooden windows, plenty of bars, Thomas Neal's Yards there, which is just full of shops, smaller little one-off outlets. But on our left-hand side, we have the Donmar Warehouse, which is odd, because they've now also opened the Donmar at the Wyndhams.
That's right, yeah.
So they're expanding, they are, beyond belief, because the Wyndhams has just gone through a massive, massive, massive refit, isn't it, recently? And what have we got on at the Donmar at the moment? Well, between the 25th of September, 15th of November is creditors. I'm not big into mine, because this is sort of like a smaller theatre, isn't it? What I did do, though, the other year, though, I picked the chap...
You've never been in there?
No, I picked the chap up when they done Othello. He was doing the floor. You know, right. Laying the floor out for it.
Don't talk to me about Othello. £18 ticket cost me £200.
Really?
Yeah. I know. I had to buy it off of a town. My friend was in it. It was the one that had Ewan McGregor in it. And my friend Michelle Fairley was a part of it. And I had to go and see her because she said this is the greatest production.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get tickets and it was all bought up. But it's a wonderful theatre. Wonderful, wonderful.
Well, yeah, I mean, and it's nice to see they've expanded, I mean, because they're successful.
I mean, went to the Wyndham as well to see PF.
Yeah. Well, Ivanov's there now, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's Ivanov.
Oh, well, in that case, it was the Vaudeville. They're at the Wyndham and the Vaudeville. Amazing. And what I like about them is it's good theatre rather than populist theatre.
Well, that's why I don't, you know, like creditors. I'm not being funny. I don't know it.
No,
but that's the thing. They're giving new writers, I presume, yeah, playwrights a chance.
Yeah,
it's also where many famous actresses took their kit off for a while, wasn't it?
They did.
The,
yeah,
in The Old Graduate, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Kathleen Turner, wasn't it? I mean, again, it created a storm, and obviously the storm has worked because the clouds have now moved and they're now expanding.
There's only 200 seats the in the Dom, yeah.
No, 200 odd seats. That's correct. Yeah, but it's a beautiful setting.
Yeah,
and again, it's an it's a cobblestone road. This is. And the pavements are level. On your right, if you're into your beers and frites, now, remember, you don't have to spend any money. We broke the golden rule last week
for about £2 or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, we will not be doing an Alistair Darling. We are not going to go into the hundreds of pounds here. But, you know, just in case, if you ever want to go out for a bite of the week and you like your Belgian tapis beers, your Leafs and the other stuff, the Hogardens and the Duvals, don't try their mate 0.5%. And I'll give you a headache, two of them. I've tried them. They really do. Have you ever tried one, a Duval?
I don't drink beer.
No. You have to drink it like a brandy, you do. It's that strong, you know. But if you like your mussels and your frites and a tapis beer, that's on the right-hand side, Belgo's. It'll be literally bang opposite the Don Bar. And then I found another bar then. It's like a German beer hall. A German beer hall, it appeared, and that's on the left. And then dead in front of us was... The Crown and Anchor Public House. Now, that's actually on Shelton Street and the corner of Neil Street. It's a pub that a lot of cab drivers will know because you get stuck at the zebra crossing. No one crosses at the zebra crossing there on Neil Street across Shelton Street because it's in the wrong position. They cross next to it. So you then get stuck. And it's always, I find it was quite funny. You look to the right. There's always someone looking back at you out the window, the boozer. And it's always a bloke. So you end up looking away from it. There it is. You know, like you get eye contact. You shouldn't be getting that type of thing. Or it's... the bloke's partner you're looking at, and you're not looking at those, you mean, because you're just stuck there at a zebra. And when it's very busy, it's one of those ones where you do have to edge a little bit forward and just say, look, it's about time you let some traffic go. But it's it's just a lovely little piece and street of London. What you will, my favourite subject, the bollards are there, the steel ones, the cast iron, I should say, the ones that look like cannons, but they're fake ones, they are. Now, we're going to go left into Neil Street. Again, paved is, it's brick paving this is now, because it's slightly more modern feel to it, Neil Street has. If you look at the buildings, they are a bit more modern now, the way the fronts are done.
I spent 2 years of my life living down there.
Did you?
At the Roxy Club.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's a beautiful...
A punk rocker at the Roxy Club, mate.
Really?
Yeah. We was managed by the bloke who ran it, yeah.
Wow.
What a stinking hole that was. It's a Speedo swimwear shop now, but...
Yeah, I know. It's on the left-hand side.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, because you've got Birkenstocks further up on the right-hand side. So we've got American Apparel. And this is what we've got to look at now. This is a good place to shop. I mean, it's got... It's like... You wouldn't expect to find an orange phone shop next to a Speedo swimwear and someone trying to sell you sandals.
Yeah.
As well as some American outfits, you know.
And just, the kite shop and the as you said, the astrology shop.
And then the big curry ass... I forgot that.
There used to be a Wimpy at that end.
Yeah, on the right-hand side. And it is just a real mishmash. And in between that, then, you've got Short's Gardens, gives you a right and a left. The right turn will send you out of Drury Lane. It will. Mm-hmm. Not too inspiring, that little bit. It gets a bit dark and dingy, this bit of Covent Garden does then. So you can honestly see... Imagine, drag yourself back in time. You can see how you did get the vagabonds and the drunks and the child... You know, like the problems in that area. You can just see it, how it happened because of the narrow streets.
It was a sad day for me. One of the saddest days I've ever had in London down there. Just that... As you get to the end of Neil Street and you turn left up Monmouth Street, there used to be that wonderful jazz record shop. I can't remember its name now. And it's, but I used to love just going in there, leafing through. And I'd sometimes be in there for an hour and a half, just looking through records, listening to the music that the bloke was playing. Because he was a real aficionado. Anybody can let me know. You can either email me,
I can't think of it, because you got the ticket shop on the right, haven't you?
It was next to... It's where they got a cafe now.
Yeah, well, Mulcahy's, that was King's Cross, wasn't it? Mulcahy's, was that?
On that corner. And it was you could go in one door and come out the other door. So you can go in Monmouth, so you can come out on Shaftesbury Avenue. Anyway, John, go on.
Yeah, no, so we're just going up Neil Street, and as you mentioned, I've got an orange phone shop on the left-hand side, we've got Speedos on the left-hand side, we've got American Apparel, got tons of shoe shops in this area. I mean, if you love shoes, you got to get down here, and you got to walk it, though. I mean, it'll help you get a pair of shoes, but Short's Gardens, if we did chuck the left, we're not going to, but if you did, on the right-hand side, it's a massive, if you aren't your outdoor stuff, and you're just visiting London, Birkhouse, massive big shop. looks really good. You know, and I like them outdoor wear shop because that urban sort of, it's turned into urban wear now, although it's meant for like, you know, the moors, everyone, you know, in the winter.
You like that ruggedness, don't you, John? You do.
I don't mind that. You know, well, I live in the middle of nowhere, so I mean, it's like, you know, a Berghaus coat's always quite good for when you're, you know, shouldn't be advertising it, but when you're walking about in the middle of nowhere, you know, when it's hammering down rain. But not round this area. No, when you're in the middle of nowhere, it's windy and wet. You know, the clothing does work for its environment.
But Ray's Records, Terry, thank you very much. Ray's Records.
Is that another cab driver, is it? Yeah. Well done, another one. Stitch me then, didn't
it? No, you can't now, hear me.
No, I will.
And Terry, he can't talk any walk without losing it. Right, okay then.
No, anyway, so we're going to go, just walk over Schwartz Gardens, and we're going to continue up. We've got that astrology shop, Birkenstocks on the right, astrology shop on the right. You'll see a curry house next door, and it is a good curry house, actually.
Yeah.
People do like it. Left-hand side, we're going to take a left turn into Monmouth Street. We are now. Now, what we're noticing in Monmouth Street is, when you look up, you'll see a French flag to your left,
mm-hmm.
and you'll see a British one to your right. And you're probably thinking, is it the Entendard Cordial? Is there something big going on here? Well, in fact, it's not. It's the Covent Garden Hotel on the right-hand side with the Union Jack. Lovely hotel. They have a hotel in Charlotte Street, the Charlotte Street Hotel. I like these hotels. They're named after the street. Very easy. And they're just that smaller size, sort of not too Edwardian, but pleasant. People that stay there like these hotels. Very personal service. You know, you get there, I think. It's a good service. On the left-hand side is Le Mansion, I think. It's a very, very fine French restaurant. That was busy tonight, and that shows you how good that restaurant is when I went past it. Very, very busy. And then we have, on Monmouth, then some slightly, well, underwear shops, lingerie shops, you could say. I mean, it was...
Knickers.
And it was. I mean, you know, quite tasteful, some of them were, you know. It's
And it fit me?
No, none for me either. I think the other sex there were, definitely. Right. All right, definitely.
That's all right.
Didn't hang around the window too long.
I'm in touch with my burlesque side. You know, what about if I want to go and see the Rocky Horror Show? Anything to fit me then? Anyway, carry on, John. I'm just getting worked up.
If you're getting a part in the Sweeney, they probably can find you some tights, I think.
Okay.
If you want to be a robber. I mean. But then on the right-hand side, some slightly outlandish, not outlandish clothes, but a bit of fashion. You will notice this round here. There's a bit of on-the-edge fashion. It's not what you'll see down, well, let's say Oxford Street. And that's what's the beauty about here. You get these one-off shops, ones you'll never find before. And I'll go through this at the end, just some of the shops that exist. And they're names you might not even heard of. Now, on our right-hand side, what you'll see now is the Mountbatten, the Radisson Hotel, the Mountbatten Hotel. The one annoying thing about this street is it's cobbled over.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got loading bays on the left. There's nowhere to park here. It's terrible. Even, like, you know, when I've walked around it, it's residence only, it's loading only. They haven't even put 1 metre bay out or nothing. In other words, they don't really want you driving around there.
Right.
But for those that do drive, like cab drivers, they have done a really good job of merging pedestrian and vehicle and making the driver and the pedestrian take responsibility for each other.
Yeah.
Because on a busy day, when you chuck that left into Monmouth Street, hit Seven Dials, get into Upper St Martin's Lane, I'll tell you what, the amount of people walking about, it's like a work of art to watch. People like moving around, you know, and seeing the traffic and the people merging, then people sitting down around the dial again, you know, just sitting there doing whatever, especially in the summertime, it's packed.
I mean, imagine what it was like when it was the, when Covent Garden was the fruit and veg market. You would have had 1,000 trucks go down there every day, wouldn't you?
Hmm.
You know, to deliver stuff in.
The whole area would be crazy, it would be, because everything would have been based around the market. The labour would have been living in these streets now, and that's the history of the area.
But it would have literally been thousands of trucks every day, taking the stuff in there, and then people buying it, and then taking it back out again. Hmm. Amazing.
I think when you see these cobblestone areas and that, if you can shut your eye for a moment and try and drown out the traffic noises, because I mean, it's not as bad when you're in there and amongst this. It is a little village. It's a beautiful village. I mean, they're going to be closing the roads, I think, Monday, Tuesday, put the Christmas decorations up, and one thing they do here, they put some beautiful lanterns up in each of the streets, so they go around the dial. And it does look fantastic, and it's like it's very subtle, very tasteful. It ain't that tacky lamppost naff looking lights you see in other parts of London. It's done with a bit of class, you know, a bit like Marylebone High Street. It looks good at the end of it, you know, and you want to walk down then. It actually attracts you to the shops, and that's what I'm saying. So, you know, great news, we got this big place in West London, but think about probably a part of London you've never bothered to ever even think about going to before. But we're back at the Dial now. Here's another one for you. On the corner, the Public House, the Crown. Right. I used to drink in it. This is a proper boozer. And this is a boozer. I don't care what people think. This is one that should be allowed, I think, to let people smoke. There are certain pubs in London that you should be allowed, because it's part of the atmosphere.
Yeah.
It's like jazz clubs. They're not the same.
Ronnie Scott's, it's weird being out to see people on the other side, yeah.
You want that where it's floating about 3 foot, you know.
Yeah.
Sort of like...
Take your life in your own hands and go in there. By the way, Mr. Cabrizzi, whose name is actually Dominic, we've found this out, we've hunted him down.
Even Dominic?
Yeah, he's going to be going past Seven Dials again in a minute. He'll let us know.
Is he busy out there?
He seems to be doing really well. He says he'll let us know if that drunk's still asleep at the bottom of it in 5 minutes' time. It's all we long for. And then Terry's had a right old go. Oh, Terry, leave it out. Yeah, he's cab drivers, man.
Yeah.
These cab drivers, you can't trust them, can you?
No, my car. I do love them, though. Yeah. I do love them. They're great people.
They're like an old moan, don't they?
No, we do. I mean, it's, you know, you've got different times, though, like, but we'll get through it. Look, the quicker we get through 2009, the better.
Yeah.
But we're back at the Dial anyway. Now, what we want to do now, we've gone into Monmouth, and I want you to walk just around the Dial, get back to Earlham Street.
Right.
Okay, so you'll have the Mountbatten Hotel on your right.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see Mercer, which leads you out Shaftesbury Avenue. Nothing interesting. You can just see it. It's just a two-way traffic at the end.
Yeah.
Get into Earlham Street. Because see what's interesting about Earlham Street now that heads out towards...
Shaftesbury Avenue.
What's interesting about it is, in the daytime, a brilliant flower stall here. Mm-hmm. And I mean, second to nobody. Great staff. I mean, in the summertime, they have some fantastic sunflowers. But even now, their flowers are second to no one. And there's also a brilliant stall next door to them with T-shirts. I mean, you can't repeat half the things that are on there.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them, you get stuck in traffic sometimes there, and you start reading the T-shirt fronts, and they do make you laugh. And then the shops down here are... There's an Adidas shop down here that sells, you know, if you're into that brand of trainer, they sell... Like the limited editions and mm-hmm. stuff, and there's Diesel down there, there's All Saints. There's some really good one, like the more quirky of the brands, you know, and where you'll find that jacket.
Anything you buy down here, no one else will have.
That's correct. I mean, it might sound daft, but you can set a trend.
Yeah.
Off. You can around these areas, because you end up spending a daft amount of money on a pair of trainers and jacket, then getting a £3 T-shirt
mm-hmm.
that just shouldn't mix, but it does.
See, I reckon.
And it sets it off.
I reckon that. Some of the people who run those shops, they haven't actually left those buildings in 25 years. They don't know the world has changed.
Well, do you know what? We got stuck in traffic down there the other week, I did, and I'm sitting there, and you could tell things weren't great because people were walking out. The shop workers went out the front doors, standing there, you know, and literally just, like, looking, like, what... And then in the end, you can just see they just end up talking to each other.
Yeah.
And it's like, what's going on? And then you can see all the cabs at the lights and what's going on.
What was going on?
Absolutely nothing. No, it's, you know, but I mean, it's because of bad news. When you get bad news in the media, it has a knock-on effect, the shock. It's this week ain't been that bad. Tonight has been, though. That's probably more to do with tomorrow night.
Mm.
You know, in the sense that tomorrow night, it's a bigger night it's going to be. You know, with Halloween, please God.
No. Or Satan, whoever's in charge tomorrow or tonight. But
this area here, it's a short walk.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about some of the bars. I mean, it's like, just to go through some of them, look, we're talking Bake Spud, Earlham Street, Tower Street Corner, Barley, Shaftesbury Avenue, Belgo Central, Earlham Street, which we talked about.
Yeah.
Bjorgi Sammy's shop, a box bar, Bunker Bar, which we talked about, 16 Thomas Neal Centre, Caffè Turno, Caff Pasta, Candy Cakes, Canali, Crown and Anchor, Public House in Neal Street, Detroit in the Thomas Neal Centre, Food for Thought, Frank's Cafe, La Piazza. It just goes on and on. Montplaisir in Monmouth Street, we spoke about, Monmouth Coffee Company. And that there is some, just these wonderful little, odd little, you know, that's just the bars.
Yeah.
And the whole area is rich. I'm shocked with even the clothing. Adidas Original. So you've got the old stuff down here. All Saints, Apple Tree, Base, Box Fresh. Some of these are quite new, young names. I mean, it's like, I'm 42. I mean, I could probably just about, if I put an hat on backwards, get away with it if I walked in the door somewhere, but not in a check shirt and a pair of cords and a pair of suede ankle boots. No, I will not get away with it, you know. Just don't. Doesn't happen. I'm too old now.
Yeah, they'd be happy for your custom, John. They'd be happy for your custom.
Probably will be now. I'll come out looking like a, you know, I don't know,
an urban street dancer.
G-Star, Shorts Gardens. It's everything's round here.
Yeah.
And the point I'm trying to make is that yes, the fanfare's great today for what's happened up in Westfield, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what? I still think you can't beat central London. And this is a bit of London that when I take people there, because sometimes now and again you say in a cab, try this area out for a bit of shopping. Just try it out, like Langley Street. I mean, it's, you know, Pineapple Dance Studios are just around the corner. The whole area, it's rich, it's beautiful, it's got history. I mean, as much as I like modern, some modern architecture and indoor shopping, I just, to me, this is shopping. This is shopping with a bite to eat, it's shopping with...
And all those places you mentioned to eat, every single one of them would be lovely. There's not chain stores, it's all individually family-run places, and that's the best place
to
get your
food. Even if you find a little cafe or something.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, but again, to walk around there costs you nothing.
Yeah.
And all you've done is, what, from Seven Dials you got yourself to, walked down Elm Street, got up Neil Street, crossed Shorts Gardens, gone left at the Monmouth, gone back round Seven Dials again, give it a quick once over, sit down, have a break for 5 minutes, get yourself back down Elm Street, have a look at some wonderful flowers, have a look at some wonderful, some are insulting t-shirts, you know, it depends what your politics are and whatever, you know, like, they're just funny, some are, some are not.
Yeah.
Some are rude, but they're all hilarious.
Right, Mr. Kabazi's got back to us.
Is he still
Dominic,
there?
He says, yep, he's still asleep at the bottom of Seven Dials. He says he's done, John's done a complete circle of Talk the Walk, and this chap slept through the whole thing. He said, now that is funny.
When you get out of the top of Erdem Street, we've got Shaftesbury Avenue, you can get a little, there's a little left turn to Tower Street, or you can get your little left turn to West Street, which will give you the Ivy Club. The Ivy have opened up a new club recently.
Yeah.
Invite only. And they're banged out. That's packed. That is just, you know, no problem at all. And then you've got the Ivy Restaurant, obviously. And then you've got the longest running theatre show ever.
The Mousetrap.
Yeah. And I picked up some of the cast a few years ago when they had their, like, big anniversary.
Yeah. Imagine how bored they are with doing that show.
Well, I mean, what is it? This day, you start telling me, like, 30 years ago I was in this. I'm like, really? Gosh, you know, they invite them all back, and it was the age, you know, the age range of the cast was like, it was quite frightening, actually, you know, and you think, yeah, it's still going, but it's an area you can get lost in, this is, an area you can actually, I tend to think now, Covent Garden's an area you actually feel safe in, it's to be so close to the edgy Soho, but it's not Soho, is it?
No.
And that's the beauty of this area. You know,
I mean, Covent Garden is, Covent Garden sets its own stall out. I mean,
and we haven't got near the Piazza, have we?
No.
That's the thing. We are north of the Piazza. And this is the bit that confuses. Most people, they come out of Leicester Square Tube and they can't find, Seven Dials, you see. Because when you try and explain it to someone, oh, come down Cranbourne Street, chuck a left up St Martin's Lane, follow the road around the curves to your right a bit and then throw a left or something. And the people are like, what? You know, you're totally bamboozled them.
Yeah, me too now.
Yeah, no, you will do, because of you know, when I say a curve, well, what curve? You know, because what one person sees is something, you know, you say someone bare left, what they mean? Sharp left, bare left, or dead ahead? People see different things, and then I have a habit, then, you know, we explain things from a driving point of view.
That's why I give you £2.20, and then off you go, driver.
Yeah, but they don't want to get in a cab, don't mind, they just want free information.
No.
I don't mind that, though.
No?
Future trade.
Future trade.
Or say to them, cheaper than the tube, you haven't got an Oyster. You know, and we are.
Well, if there's four people, it is.
Well, 16. Well, yeah. Even if you've got an Oyster, it's four of you. You know, so this is a worth a walk, definitely weekend, definitely half term. And, you know, again, don't have to spend anything. Just enjoy it, London. You know, most people that live here have a form of a travel card. You know, most people, they do, you know, and you know, most people, you know, if you live in a local area, even, I think the locals here, there's something rich about Covent Garden.
Yeah. Some lovely Peabody houses around here. That's right.
Some quite on Shelton Street, on the corner even. And then, at the other end, we're talking Catherine Street. I think you are around that area, isn't it? Russell Street. There's some Peabody flats there.
Yeah.
That's correct. I mean, it's where you got
off. It's quite, I mean,
primary school, actually, fair enough.
Yeah.
I've done an article about it. I took some photographs of the flowers outside there. Beautiful. Where you got Sebastro, the restaurant on the corner as well. Russell and Drury Lane, it is, actually. It's wonderful, wonderful, mad restaurant, it is like. And this is, to me, how I like to shop. I don't know about everybody else. They'll all probably be heading the other way, but you know what? Let the other lot head the other way, and you head this way.
John, absolute pleasure. Are you ready?
Yes.
Omar! This is just for him, okay? Because this will bring world peace. He's told me this many times, so... Salt the Walk with John Cabby, BBC 94.9. I love that Seven Dials because I got memories of Covent Garden when it still had all the fruit blokes there. When we would talk the walk with John Cabby, BBC 94.9. I'd like to thank John Kennedy, John the Cabby, for coming in. He comes in every week to take us around a part of London for none money whatsoever. Talk the walk with John the Cabby, BBC 94.9. Right, get back out there, John. It looks like there's a whole load of lights. People ready for you. What's that? What? Hang on. Oi!
Special one next week.
What's that?
We're down by the cenotaph.